Lake Effect brings you conversations about what's happening in Milwaukee and the people, places, and organizations that shape our community. This is Lake Effect Spotlight from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
Before we start, I'd like to take a moment to caution listeners about the contents of today's show. Our first two pieces deal with the topic of suicide. If you or anyone you know is in a crisis or thinking about suicide, trained help is available. You can talk to someone at the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline by dialing 988. Earlier this month, Milwaukee lost one of its most tenacious advocates. Alderman Jonathan Brostoff died by suicide at just 41 years old. He leaves behind a wife, four children, and a community, struggling to come to terms with this loss. During his life, Brostoff was a tireless advocate for his community, both as a state representative and later as a member of the Milwaukee Common Council. In the wake of his passing, the outpouring of grief and love has been immense. Now we'll hear from some of the people who knew and loved Jonathan.
I'll remember Jonathan as a friend, a colleague, an activist who, every time he entered a space, brought so much energy and light. He was a vessel of light. If he saw you, whatever it was you were doing, he was going to affirm you, support you. In my case, Shorewood Farmers Market, that's where I would run into him the most throughout the summer months. Jonathan would never walk by my table without a conversation and a purchase. And he was going to take a picture, which is why so many of us have photos with Jonathan, because he initiated that. He wanted to take that photo. I will remember him as a father, because most of the time at that farmer's market, those beautiful children, as they kept coming into the world, would be with him. I will remember him as an ally, and I want to specifically say that and say public allies. That's where I got to know Jonathan. He is representative of the power of public allies that has done so much good for the city of Milwaukee. And so I will remember him officially as an ally and personally as an ally. And he is missed.
Jonathan Brostoff could be best understood by how he played a game of basketball. Make no mistake, Jonathan was never confused for Giannis Antetokounmpo, nor a varsity high school player. He wasn't tall. He wasn't fast. He couldn't shoot. He looked none of the part. But just like in everything he did, you quickly learned you wanted Jonathan on your team. Jonathan had all the skills you can't teach. He hustled. He cared. He paid attention. He tried hard. He was honest, and he included everyone. On the basketball court, this manifested itself in the consummate team player. He was always setting screens on offense, poking the ball away on defense, and rallying his teammates. He had his signature full-court press. Without fail, Jonathan would surprise the other team by unleashing his one-man, end-line-to-end-line defense. It was a free 2 points for his team. Jonathan brought that same energy to the rest of his life. He won a super competitive assembly race in 2014 to launch his political career. Those of us who had played basketball with him for years weren't surprised. He simply outworked his three opponents by knocking on more doors and appearing at more events. His signature legislative accomplishment at the Capitol was a licensing program for sign language interpreters. But the process to get there was as absurd as his trash talk on the basketball court. After it was initially rejected by the Republican-controlled legislature, he pledged to the disability rights community not to cut his hair until it was a law. He went 17 months without a haircut, yielding quite the quote, Jufro, but also a visible sign that he was working on something. The large number of people that showed up in an East Side parking lot when he finally got his haircut was indicative of the Big Ten style of how he lived his life. I watched him multiple times meet someone at an event and turn to the next person to introduce the person he just met as if they were an old friend. Playing basketball with Jonathan was the same experience. He'd text you about meeting to play at a park. Then you got there, and he had someone in tow that he just met. Whether it was a movie night at his house, a game of pickup basketball, knocking doors for a political candidate, or playing Magic the Gathering, Jonathan was always making friends and bringing them along. Our longtime personal friendship took on a professional twist when he was elected to the Common Council, which I cover for Urban Milwaukee. Just like his full court press on the basketball court, Jonathan stepped into office ready to advocate with high intensity for what he believed in. He brought passionate advocacy for sustainable urban development and safe streets for all to the council. Jonathan was always thinking several steps ahead about how to get the next thing passed. The energy came as a surprise to many of his new colleagues, but not to anyone who had ever stepped on the basketball court with him. Jonathan was a leader and a friend to all who knew him.
Jonathan was one of the first people I met when I moved to Milwaukee back in 2006. I used to see him at UWM all the time when I worked with the ACLU. And he was always in the student union, fighting for social justice and equal rights, supporting the different events we were doing, promoting the local youth Dems component. He was just an all-around, infectiously good-humored fighter. He was a good egg. We used to connect over everything from Star Wars to board games. He was one of the first people to come over and become a Milwaukee Turner when I moved over here too. I've always appreciated his love and support. I remember, you know, having the pleasure of holding Barack and Boaz and Binyamin and Yael. I remember bringing food over after his car accident and playing with him and the babies. And sometimes we'd just sit in the porch and take a look at stuff and play with the kids. This is a very deep loss, not only as a friend, and I can't imagine what's going on in Deanna or Alan or Phyllis's world, but to Milwaukee and Wisconsinites in general, Jonathan was such a force, right? Such a great energy. And I think this underscores the need for all of us to make sure that we check in with the people we care about. It was terrible to go and to be in the same place where I had helped toss Jonathan up and down on a chair for his wedding to come to a close, a circle, to celebrate his life in that same center. Such a terrible and abrupt thing. But I hope that all of us can honor his commitment to Milwaukee, his commitment to one another, his long-standing life lesson. I'll never forget you, brother.
Me and Jonathan were very close. Since that fateful day, my first week at UWM, I haven't been able to shake him. First, you know, club night meetings, then we went to dinners and birthdays and college parties. Then he dragged me along to run his first campaign, and he got me and my wife to run his events, and then a deputy campaign manager, knock on doors. We traveled across the world together. We vacationed together in Mexico. We were 30 seconds from the beach, and we watched the sunrise come up over the Gulf. We watched sea turtles hatch and swim back into the water. We swam in underground caves. We had movie nights. We had video game nights. We traveled to Chicago. He stood up in my wedding. We had children, virtually the same age, 8 months apart, our first sons. He helped me when my father passed away. That's what hurts the most. We were supposed to raise our sons together. We made so many plans for the future. We were supposed to do sleepovers and go glamping and take them to summer camp, and I dreamed of joining the scouts with him, and all those dreams will go unfulfilled. I spoke to him nearly every week, if not every day. You know, most people want to change the world, but he did. I'm living in it. I wish I knew how much Jonathan was suffering. When you're someone like Jonathan, you spread yourself pretty thin. He was a wonderful father, but I think he loved his constituents too. Sometimes you just have to step back. It's just a job. Jonathan didn't see it that way. I'm going to miss him. He was part of my life every day. And life's never going to be the same without him. A lot of people knew him, but I loved him.
So I know Jonathan for about 8 years or so. And throughout these 8 years, we've been working on different mental health programming and suicide prevention programming really this entire time, from bringing the suicide prevention programming to Madison, to Milwaukee City Hall, and to other places as well. And after his passing, when I was trying to think, what can we, like, how do you respond to something like this? I think back to all the work we did together, and we want to do what we did and just do it again and again and again. We want to make every year and every moment that he lived count for everything Jonathan stood for. And in my world, it was the mental health work that we did together with Friendship Circle and him. And that's why we went to this, especially the way he passed, you know, was aligned with the work that we were doing. And so we were launching the We Can Save Lives tour, and we're going to do 41 suicide prevention trainings over the course of the next 10 or so months. And we want to train over 1,000 people in Safe Talk suicide prevention training. If you want to make sure that Jonathan's life really counts for as much as possible, you know, sharing stories is important, you know, documenting his memories are important, but doing something to help someone else is even more important.
That was Venus Williams from Alice's Garden, Jeremy Janine from Urban Milwaukee, Emilio De Torre from the Milwaukee Turners, and Jonathan Brostoff's former colleague and close friend, Alexander Dominguez. We also heard from Rabbi Levi Stein, the executive director of the Friendship Circle of Wisconsin. They all shared their memories of late Milwaukee alderman Jonathan Brostoff. Beginning tomorrow, Stein will be hosting the first of 41 Safe Talk suicide prevention trainings in honor of Brostoff. You can find more information about the trainings at fcwi.org. If you or anyone you know is in a crisis or are thinking about suicide, trained help is available for you. You can talk to someone at the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline by dialing 988.
You can find more interviews like this one by visiting wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And while you're there, subscribe to the Lake Effect Spotlight podcast.